Kwazi why kwazi why kwazi why muri eZimbabwe lingali tshona njani mthwakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle muri eZimbabwe yaita yaita hola. If you're tuning in right now, you're tuned in to Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America muri eZimbabwe. This is Live Talk The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related muri eZimbabwe. We're coming to you live from Studio 7, Voice of America in Washington DC on Tuesday, the 16th of March 2021. Muri eZimbabwe, I'm your host, Mike Ove. Once again, Muri eZimbabwe, if you're just tuning in right now, welcome. You're tuned in to Live Talk, The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. Muri eZimbabwe, if you're tuned in, this is Live Talk, The Connection. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Tonight on The Connection, Muri eZimbabwe, let's delve into it. Nasim Chirongwa Trukwendrambeli, we continue the discussion on the COVID-19 pandemic, the pandemic responsible for taking millions of lives across the globe. However, focus is going to be on the Sinopharm vaccine. Just today, Zimbabwe received 200,000 more Sinopharm vaccines from China. But the conversation is not just going to be ending there. We're also going to be focusing on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on Zimbabwean youth. Seeing as though it's Women's Month, we're going to be digging a little deeper on the impact of the global pandemic on young women. However, as we wrap up our conversation, I like to say this, Muri eZimbabwe, we want to wrap up the conversation on a positive note, focusing on some of the positivity coming out of Zimbabwe. This week, we're going to be profiling a young group of young students. We're going to be profiling teachers. We're going to be talking to the co-founder of the WinAd Music Trust in Zimbabwe. We're going to be joined by her and a couple of their students as they show us the amazing work that Zimbabwean youth are doing. So that's going to be what we're delving into. Nasim Chirongwa, Muri eZimbabwe. If you're looking to join us tonight, we're going to be opening the lines between 8:30 and 9 p.m. The number to call live in studio is +1202-619-2077. I repeat, +1202-619-2077. Now, for those that are streaming on our three Facebook pages, Muri eZimbabwe, we live as we speak on VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7, and of course on our three web pages, those being www.voashona.com, www.voastudio7.com, and www.voandebele.com. So if you're looking to share the program on our Facebook pages, please go ahead and share it with your networks. And most importantly, ukuthi like ukuze sibone ukuthi ngempela lempela likhona zulukandaba libukele ngobuningi benu zwechokwadi murkona chirongwa newandu wenyu. And of course, the comments, Muri eZimbabwe, write your comments in the comment section and we're going to be reading them live on air. Without wasting time, let's delve into it. Chirwere che coronavirus, COVID-19. Tonight, Muri eZimbabwe, as I mentioned earlier on, earlier today, President Emmerson Mnangagwa was at the airport as he received 200,000 more Sinopharm vaccines that were coming from China. Let us take a look at a clip courtesy of the Ministry of Information's Twitter page of President Emmerson Mnangagwa as he addressed the nation when he was receiving these vaccines.
My administration is confident that this vaccination intervention will greatly contribute to our country's realization of herd immunity. The national COVID-19 vaccination program will further guarantee a Zimbabwe that continues on its course to achieve our dedicated vision 2030. We are determined to emerge out of this pandemic with greater capability to play a more effective role towards peace, harmony, and prosperity within the community of nations. The People's Republic of China's unparalleled readiness to avail access to the vaccines for commercial procurement justifies our shared and mutual desire to continue enhancing cooperation, particularly in these times of distress and competition for resources.
Well, Zulu kandaba liyamuzwa phela uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa abo mthungamiri wenyika vanga ripoka nhasi makuseni vachigamuchira nhomba yeSinopharm 200,000 vaccines dzasvika munyika 200,000 ijekiseni eleSinopharm elivela kwele China 200,000 afike namhlanje ekuseni lizwe uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa ebonga uMongameli wakwele China esithi hayi ngempela khanya ngani ele China lime ndawonye ngele Zimbabwe nxa sisikhangela indaba le eyokulwisana ngegcikwane le coronavirus. Now, Mudia Zimbabwe, the new batch of COVID-19 vaccines come during a time whereby, according to the latest information released by the Ministry of Health and Child Care, only 37,660 people have taken the vaccine. Now, remember, this is a vaccine that has been in the country a couple of weeks back. 200,000 were donated. 37,660 have taken that vaccine, and today another 200,000 came in. Now, the primary reason behind what many are calling a low turnout of people that have taken the vaccine is, of course, like we've mentioned, pano pachirongwa chedu cheveki over the past couple of weeks, nyaya yekuti hanzi vazhinji vari kuchema kuti there's not enough information as to with regards to the Sinopharm vaccine in Zimbabwe. So a lot of frontline workers to date are still saying they're urging government to come up with programs whereby they're going to be educating Zimbabweans on the Sinopharm vaccine, something that they say might lead to the change in terms of the turnout. But amongst the doctors that have actually taken the COVID-19 vaccine, the Sinopharm vaccine in Zimbabwe, is Dr. Tandiwe Mnaiwa, who is urging Zimbabweans, saying even though there's not enough information right now, how the Sinopharm vaccine, as was mentioned by Dr. Smemeza last week, the Sinopharm vaccine allows Zimbabweans to gain some kind of immunity against the COVID-19 vaccine, which should be reason enough for them to want to take it, as it will help in Zimbabwe's fight against the COVID-19. Let's take a look at a clip of Dr. Mnaiwa.
I work in one of the COVID facilities in Harare. I've just been fortunate that I haven't gotten it yet, but I needed this vaccine so that I can feel protected. Talking as a healthcare provider, if we are going to fight COVID as a nation, we need to get vaccinated. And this is why I've led by example. I'm here today. I got the vaccine because I want this country to be rid of COVID.
Well, Zulu kandaba liyamuzwa phela udokotela ingcwethi kwezempila kahle uyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi yena uselithathile leli Jackson ngenxa yokuthi she wants to help in Zimbabwe's fight against igcikwane le coronavirus. Now, here I have my first guest joining me live via telephone from Gontutu Zethunqa kobulawayo uThando Lwenkosi Nkomo. Thando, welcome to the program. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing fine, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us on the program. So Zulu kandaba, for those that do not know ukuthi ngubani uThando Lwenkosi Nkomo, is a member of IM4 Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19. So Thando, let's delve into it, man. 200,000 new vaccines coming into Zimbabwe. What's your take? Are you excited about that?
Yes, I'm excited because for a couple of months now, we've all been hoping for, you know, a cure or something that can help us to deal with COVID-19. And so, look, the vaccine is here. We know it will take time for everyone to get access to the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But it's a start, you know. Yes, 200,000 is not enough for everyone. But the government has, you know, indicated that it's putting resources to help us to improve that number. And I think just recently, the private sector was given, you know, the green light to actually assist in the procurement of vaccines for its workers. So, I mean, we're definitely getting somewhere, and it's really a positive step in the right direction for us as a country.
Mm-hmm. Now, Thando, speaking of the, I guess, the contribution that private players will be giving onto this, right now it seems as though the biggest debate right now behind this whole Sinopharm vaccine is people are crying and aching to receive more information on the Sinopharm vaccine. A couple of weeks back, we heard President Emmerson Mnangagwa saying they're going to be using state media and, of course, hoping on media outlets and other partners such as I Am for Bulawayo fighting COVID-19 to educate the masses. How important do you think that this process will be in terms of rising the number of people that have taken the COVID-19 vaccine?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we need more education around not just the vaccine, but around COVID-19 itself, and obviously around the vaccine. There's a lot of myths and misconceptions about the COVID-19 vaccine in particular. And I think one of the challenges that, or one of the gaps that we have is, you know, the ability of our journalists, the ability of the media to actually facilitate a meaningful and convincing conversation with members of the public around the vaccine and its benefit. I mean, if you think about it, this is not the first time that Zimbabweans need to be vaccinated. And so we know that in the past, there have been challenges with the rolling out any vaccine program. But look, vaccines are not new things, and the media should help people to understand the vaccine. And so definitely any program that that is channeling or that is aiming at capacitating the media is very welcome. I mean, as I Am for Bulawayo, last year we did facilitate training with some journalists in order to help them improve their COVID-19 reportage. And definitely we are looking forward to also helping the media to, you know, to report more meaningfully and more engagingly in ensuring that people take up the vaccine, people understand what the vaccine is doing or will do. And, you know, and yeah, I mean, we are really open to this, and I think government's stance is a positive one on this aspect.
I want to move the conversation a little bit further beyond just the vaccine. Recently, of course, Zimbabwe changed the lockdown regulations, and so people are a little more free. Schools have reopened and so much more. However, when we look at the reports of what's coming out and we look at the pictures of what our correspondents are sending us from what's happening on the ground, it seems as though people have reverted back to their traditional ways, ungagqokanga mask and so much more. How dangerous is something like that? Do people understand what they're doing?
No, I think the first thing that we have a challenge with generally is a misconception and a lack of understanding about the COVID-19 vaccine, about COVID-19 itself. And so we still have people who, you know, who don't really appreciate what COVID-19 is all about. So mask wearing for a lot of people has not been about COVID-19. It has been about regulations that have come. So that's the first challenge that we have. And so there is definitely need for more education in that. So what that is doing is, you know, we have people who are not masking up, but I wouldn't say I know the numbers. But that's not to say people are not being careful. I mean, a lot of people are very careful. They are very cautious. A lot of people are apprehensive about the potential of a third wave. I think, you know, look, I use public transport myself, and I can tell you that I really interact with people who are not masked up. So the challenge that we have is that, yes, people have are excited about the prospect of going back to work and spend for their families. But at the same time, we need to continue to motivate each other to mask up, continue to motivate each other to not be complacent, because we know that if we are not careful, we are going to get into a more serious third wave. And this is something that, especially with people that I've been interacting with, it's something that we've been talking about. And I mean, everyone is really, at least the people that I've been interacting with, are really cautious and are hoping that Zimbabweans will be able to put up a spirited front to avert a serious third wave.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we're going to, and I know I keep going back and forth between the vaccine and the lockdown, I am a little curious because even earlier on, I had a program that I was hosting, and it seems as though there's some kind of resistance from the from people taking the vaccine. What is this big reason? Why are people so scared of taking the vaccine?
Most people don't understand what the vaccine will do. There's a lot of... I think, first of all, in the first instance, a lot of people do not actually believe that COVID-19 is something that they should be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the first thing. And secondly, now that you have brought the vaccine, a lot of people don't understand the vaccine itself. There's a lot of fear driven by myths around the vaccine. For example, a lot of people, there have been reports rather that the vaccine will alter the DNA. Some people are linking the vaccine to the mark of the beast, 666, end of the world and things like that. So there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of fear, there are a lot of myths surrounding the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And so until we have dealt with that, we are going to have some form of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where really the media come in to ensure that the right messaging is out there.
Asithintene udaba lolu ngolimi luka mama ngamafishane ethando. Siyabona ukuthi namhlanje elizweni 200,000 amajekiseni lawa avikela iCOVID-19 afikile adabuka kwele China. Kodwa siyabona ukuthi ngempela uZulu jikelele elizweni khanya ngani bayasaba ukulithatha le jekiseni. Inombono wakho ngalokho njengoba kusanda ufika amanye amajekiseni.
Ngicabangela ukuthi abantu abaningi abazwisisi ukuthi kanti vele iCOVID-19 kuyini okokuqala. Then okwesibili, abantu abaningi vele abazwisisi ukuthi kanti i-vaccine leyi isebenza njani. Siyakubona ukuthi i-vaccine leyi ivela khona le China. Kodwa njengoba ivela khona e-China, kanti lapha babuza abantu abaningi babuzana ukuthi kanti i-vaccine leyi isebenza njani. Abanye bacabanga ukuthi i-vaccine leyi izabatinta emzimbeni, bekuthatha kakhulu nxa bebala ama-message amaningi-ningi lapha kubo-social media. Abanye futhi bacabangela ukuthi i-vaccine leyi luphawu lwesilo khonokho ukuthi nje kumhlaba singathi siyaphela. So ngathi yizo ezinye izinto ezenza ukuthi abantu babe lovalo. Babe lokuthikaza nxa sikhuluma ngokuthi hayi nansi i-vaccine bantu, asithatheni i-vaccine sizivikele emkhuhlaneni lo we-COVID-19.
Uyasaba ukulithatha leli jekiseni. Ubona ngani sokumele kwenze njani ukuze abantu baqale ukulikwamukela leli jekiseni ngoba so far only 37,000 sebethethe ijekiseni leli kodwa there's now another 200,000 esifikelizweni namhlanje.
Okumele sikwenze ukuthi kumele sikhulumisane kabanzi ngale vaccine leyi. Ngiyazi ukuthi i-government yethu isike yakhuluma ukuthi hayi kumele intathele izindaba zincediswe zihlonyiswe ukuthi khona zanelise ukuthi zibhale iy'ndaba zikhulumisane labantu kakuhle kabanzi uze abantu bazwisise nge-vaccine. So ngicabanga ukuthi okokuqala okuqakatheke kakhulu ukuthi khona abantu bathole ulwazi, bathole i-information ecacayo nge-vaccine. Singayenza njalo abantu bazayizwisisa i-vaccine. Sikhumbule phela ukuthi asiqale eZimbabwe ukuvaccinate, asilabo abantwana bavaccinatewa every other day, bavaccinatewa abantwana, bavaccinatewa ku-measles, bavaccinatewa ku-polio. Namuhla sesikhuluma nge-vaccination ye-COVID-19. So abantu ukuvaccinatewa generally bayakufisa, bayakwenza, kodwa ukuvaccinatewa ku-COVID-19 bayakusola ngenxa yani, kungenxa dabakuzwisisa. So singabafundisa abantu, sizayinqoba le ndaba.
Now, as we wrap up our conversation here, Thando, this month is a very important month for women across the globe, women in Zimbabwe. Yeah. It's Women's Month. Now, as we focus on COVID-19, I'm a little curious about that. You've worked with people on the ground. What is the biggest challenge that you would say the COVID-19 pandemic has posed for young women in Zimbabwe?
This is a tough question for me as a man, but I'll just answer it from the perspective of being a husband and also being a father of a young girl. You know, one of the things that we can easily pick is that COVID-19 has affected women's ability to access education. You know, a lot of young women, particularly in high school age, university age, have lost over a year, close to a year, of social and mental development, and this is really, really worrying. And I mean, everyone is asking, will they catch up? Mm-hmm. How will they catch up? And thinking about the prospect of a third wave, how will all that interplay in terms of social and mental development of young women? We've also seen another challenge in women struggling to meet their economic needs. But a lot of young women who are self-employed, who are running businesses, some of them are in the informal sector, they are vendors, and a lot of them right now are struggling with making ends meet. And if the COVID-19 pandemic continues, mm-hmm. their economic lives remain at risk. We also have seen reports of the increased, the spike in teenage pregnancies in the country, mm-hmm. and also the spike in sexual abuse cases in COVID during the lockdown period. And, I mean, this tells us that the pandemic has affected women, young women, socially, economically, mm-hmm. mentally, sexually, and really, it calls for us as a society to respond, you know, to respond sensitively to the needs of women. And I remember even some other time someone was telling me that, you know, because of COVID-19 and even the lockdown regulations, mm-hmm. Young women have struggled to access sexual reproductive health services,
right?
Because they were not, if you want to go to town, for example, and you want to access sexual reproductive health services, you couldn't because you needed a letter, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And worse, if you are disabled, you struggle to even get transport, even if you had that letter. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the issues that I have, you know, observed through observation and interaction with other people. And my prayer and hope is that even as we go through Women's Month, we can be more sensitive, mm-hmm. and more responsive to the needs of women.
Ubona ngani ukuthuthukiswa kwabomama kanye la mantombazana kulakho ukusiza when we talk about indaba lezi that they were facing phansi kohlelo lwe lockdown?
Can you come again?
Bengithi, do you think ukuthi women empowerment, ukuthuthukiswa kwabomama, would be something that would help in terms of the challenges that abantu besifazana were facing phansi kohlelo lwe lockdown?
Yes. Kuqakathekile ukuthi sibili sikhangele ukuthi omama ba-affecte kanjani nge-COVID-19. Sikhangele ukuthi kanti vele lihlelo bani esingazihlela ukuthi sincedise omama abancane, you know, the young women, sincedise nje omama abasakhula, amankazana asakhulayo, ukuthi sibancedise ukuthi njengoba sebelahlekelwe yisikhathi eside kangaka ukuthi baye enkolo, sebelahlekelwe ngamathuba amaningi kangaka ukuthi bafunde lokhuyana lokhuyana okungabancedisa ekukhuleni kwabo. Nxa singaba le nhlelo ezokubancedisa, kungaphathisa kakhulu ukuthi laba bantu bathi catch up, bangalahlekelwa kakhulu ngenxa yomkhuhlane we-COVID-19.
Right, Mnumzana Nkomo, thank you so much. And Bonangani Iskati, so says Luong Mangoi. We need to take a couple of other guests. But thank you so much for joining us, man. Do you have any last words you want to give to the listeners?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show. And to the listeners, you know, what I'd like to say is that we need to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 is real. COVID-19 is here. We need to all play our part. Let's rise up to the occasion. Let's keep on masking up. Let's keep on socially distancing. Let's keep on sanitizing. And if you've got a few dollars, you know, to contribute towards ensuring that our health institutions are capacitated, mm-hmm. do reach out to IM for Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19. Do reach out to, you know, any other stakeholders that are involved in the fight against COVID-19 so that we can all, you know, hit this one and together we can make it.
Please tell the listeners how they can find IM for Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19 so that they can know how to reach out to you guys.
All right, thank you. So you can reach to IM for Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19 Trust by going to our Facebook page or our Twitter account. It's at IM for Bulawayo, that's in small cap. And it's at IM for Bulawayo, spelled IAMEYO. That's our handle for Facebook, and that's also our handle for Twitter. Mm-hmm. You can also look into our website, www.im4uyo.org.zw. They can also reach out to us by coming straight to our offices in Bulawayo at the corner of 11th Avenue and Samuel Parerenyatwa. And, yeah, I mean, if they come there, they'll be able to contact us. But on our Facebook page and on our Twitter handles, they can reach us and they can get more information about us.
All right. Awesome. Tandolo Nkosi Nkomo, IM for Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19. Thank you so much for joining us, Mnumzan.
Thank you so much, Sova.
So, Muriya Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Thandolo Nkosi Nkomo of IM for Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19. Now, we're also joined by another young agenda activist. She's a girls' rights defender who we're going to be headed to very soon, Ufarai Kumbonjwanda. However, let's take a look to what the Facebook listeners are saying first before we head over to Ufarai. Agukasile tu ele VOA indebele ngempela ngiyabona ukuthi abantu bayangena bayabhala imibono yabo. Kasiletele VOA Ndebele. There's Lindsay Harmon. Uthi sawubona Mike. Hi, unjani sawubona. Sawubona Lindsay. Sunduzo Ndlovu uthi unjani Mr. Mike. Ngiyaphila Ndlovini. Unjani. Ncube uyabhala uthi sawubona basakazi be Studio 7. Unjani Mr. Ncube. Thank you so much for joining us. Usaziso uyabhala uthi linjani. Hayi siyaphila. Mr. Richard Moyo, mfundisi wari kunyora nzi makadiku. Ayo atinotenda zvikuru samfundisi nokupinda muchirongwa. Thabiso Moyo uyabhala kuti hello beautiful Zimbabwe. Mnumzana Moyo siyabonga ngempela ngokungena kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. Now let me bring in my second guest ongenayo kuhlelo via Skype. Ngiyabona ukuthi akekho ready, ngibona ngani itechnology yahlupa. So let's prepare a clip that we're going to be headed over to of the World Health Organization Africa. Now, as mentioned by Mnumzana Nkomo, the World Health Organization, a lot of women have been fighting on the forefront of what's been happening with regards to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, this being Women's Month, I'm finding it very important to bring women onto the show to spotlight some of the challenges that they've been facing and, of course, some of the strides that they've made in terms of fighting the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's head over to a clip courtesy of the World Health Organization's Africa YouTube page, whereby these are women fighting on the forefront of the COVID-19 pandemic, and they're explaining the strides that women have made in terms of the fight against coronavirus. Let's go.
COVID-19 has had both direct and indirect impact on women in the African region. Of the available data, women account for 41% of cases of COVID-19 in the region, ranging from 31% in Niger to 57% in South Africa. Available evidence shows that there are fewer women who consulted health facilities in the region, and countries are reporting increase in maternal death, increase in complication of abortion. There has been also increase in newborn death that also affects women's health. And women who want to prevent pregnancy were not able to get the modern contraceptives. It is important for government to use the findings on continuity of services to develop strategies and policies to mitigate the impact of COVID-19 on the availability and the use of sexual and reproductive health services. Countries need to continuously monitor and analyze the data and the service to women so that they can assure continuity of services during the COVID-19 pandemic and beyond. It is important for government to use innovative approaches to continuously deliver services during the COVID-19 pandemic. For example, they can use telemedicine, they can use other digital platforms to train health workers.
Well, Zulukandaba liyabona phela ngempela okushiwo ngabenhlanganiso ye World Health Organization bayachazisa ngempela ukuthi hayi khanye ngani abantu abesifazana bakhona ngempela, they're fighting on the front lines abelwisana ngaleli gcikwane le coronavirus. They were mentioning some of the statistics. Khanye ngani over 60% of women have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic ikakhulukazi kwele Africa, kodwa hayi inxa sesikhangela phela I front line services abo dokotela abongi and the nurses. Women, abantu abesifazana who are all fighting on the front line against chirwere coronavirus. Let's see what people are saying on our Facebook pages whilst we try to get my other two guests, Muzare Abiona Mataranyika and Farai Kumbonjana, who are going to be joining us. Pano Pachirongwa Chiluchewe Chidiki, Nrugona Muzare Abigail Mataranyika, hello there, I was not in the Zukuru Sanukpinda Mchirongwa, Mkoma Boas, Jaya Guru, Arunyuranzi, watching you live from Botswana, Dumelangintate, Boss Jayakuru. Sikhangela phela kukhasi lethu LVOA Ndebele. Khona uRebecca Gwizi uyabhaluthi salibonani basakazi beStudio 7. Siyabonga ngempela sisi Rebecca ngokungena kuhlelo. Saka ndiyo nyayethu kuzeya Mchirongwa Muri eZimbabwe. Earlier on you heard there from Thandolo Nkosi Nkomo of I Am for Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19. We're touching on the vaccines. Echasisa ngempela uMnumzana Nkomo ukuthi elizweni munyika 200,000 extra vaccines came into the country. Nasi zavaku China nomba ze Sinopharm. Earlier on Ndambo, I was hosting Chirongwa Chele. Let's talk ngati kurukure. Chamuno simbo pakurwa na mavela simhlanganya huye. And we're actually speaking to some of the listeners. Kanyangani abantu elizweni vanumunyika aruku uchika. People are scared of taking the Sinopharm vaccine for reasons mentioned by Mr. Ngoma earlier on, whereby he was explaining that the issue with regards to education on the Sinopharm vaccine seems to be one thing that's deterring people from wanting to go out and take the vaccine in their numbers. We also touched on the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic on young women. Earlier, as you just saw, Muria Zimbabwe, we played a clip of the World Health Organization whereby they were explaining how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected young women. You also heard from Mr. Nkomo himself as he was touching on that. But now joining me is Abiona Mataranyika. She's one of the, when we talk about women leaders, she's up there, the first female president of the University of Zimbabwe, SRC. Abiona, welcome to our program. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you.
I'm super excited to have you on the program. This is probably my first time having you live on this show, so I'm super excited for that. Let's delve into it. This is the reason why I have you here. We're focusing on the global pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, and how it's affected young women. What do you think? How has it affected young women in Zimbabwe?
Well, I think COVID-19 has had a negative effect on women because some have had to be stuck at home and facing gender-based violence. And, you know, most women are into, you know, border trading and all sorts of businesses that require them to be traveling out and about. And, you know, COVID-19 brought about certain lockdowns, which meant that it was going to impact them negatively because they're not able to travel due to borders being closed. However, one can also argue that, you know, it has had a positive impact on young women in Zimbabwe. And, you know, definitely one might ask me, how, Abiona? But I think that it has taught some women that you can embrace diversity. And what do I mean by diversity? I feel like, you know, a lot of people have had to, you know, resort to online businesses whereby they have to sell their goods. They have to online platforms and delivery things and have to, you know, resort to other new ways of, you know, being in business.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're at the helm of education here. You're the president of the USZSRC. One of the things that seemed to have affected young women was the education sector. How would you argue young women were affected in that regard?
Well, you know, women were really affected because some students fend for themselves through certain hustles they do, you know, for them to raise their fees. For example, here at UZED, we actually have students who sell clothes, who travel from right to Tari in order to get money to, you know, pay their school fees, but they were not able to do that because of the COVID-19, because it had certain lockdowns that came with it. And, you know, some students were facing, you know, abuse in their different homes because of, you know, we all have different family backgrounds, and they were facing a lot of abuse because I remember at some point that we actually had to come up with a mental health support group that would support young women going through abuse. And tell you what, we really had so many cases coming up to ask me and my SRC team. I remember the other time my secretary for information, Watson Mavuro, was telling me, because he's the one that runs the mental health, you know, emergency line. So he was telling me that he was receiving a lot of cases of young women going through abuse. And, you know, we really had a tough time trying to comfort all those people and, you know, looking for therapies that were going to help them with everything that they were going through during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. But now from a positive perspective, I played the clip earlier on of the World Health Organization, the Africa region, where they were explaining the strides that women have made. I was actually watching that full press conference, and Dr. Moeti Tsidi says 70% of the global health workforce, many are women that formulate the front lines. Now, as a woman in a leadership position, how does that make you feel to realize that the strides that women are making in terms of helping the world?
It really makes me feel so good because it really feels that, yes, the future is female. It really validates that statement because even besides that, you know, a lot of people were dying. Women still were on the front line of, you know, making sure that people were okay and they never gave up. I would see so many videos of women encouraging other women and empowering other women. Could you come, let's do this together, let's be the frontliners. And this really showed that women are strong and they continue to soldier on. And this really made me happy and validated the statement that the future is female in good.
Ngatimboze nyayene rumiro amai mzari abiona. Then tochipete edu urukuredu nukupano umwe guest that naupi na mchirongwa. Tijitarisa iwi matambudziko arikusangana newe chidiki kunyanya vanasikana munyika panguva iyo. Nyika ichiri kurwisana nedenda reCOVID-19. Ndeapi matambudziko amungati ari kusangana nevanasikana munyika?
Vanasikana munguva ino yeCOVID-19 vari kusangana nematambudziko akawanda anosanganisira kushungurudzwa mudzimba izvo dzavanenge vari, uyezve kushaya zvokuita. Sezvo kuita ava vana vesikana vanozvibhadharira mari dzavo dzechikoro nekushanda tumabasa tudiki nekutengesa zvakasiyana-siyana. Zvino neCOVID-19 iri pakati pedu, izvi zvava zvisingachakwanisiki nekuti taive neiyo yatinoti lockdown, zvichireva izvo kuti vasakwanisa kufamba uye kuenda kune dzimwe nyika vachikwanisawo kuti vatsvage mari yekuti vazvibhadharire mari dzechikoro.
Nemaonerenyu mungati vanhukadzi vakawana mikana yekuzvisimudzira zvingabatsira here mukugadzirisa matambudziko mazhinji anga akasangana nevanasikana pamwe chete nevanhukadzi over the past year pasi pechirongwa chelockdown?
Zvikuru sandinokumbidza kuti vanhu vakaitirwa empowerment kana kusimudzirwa kwemadzimai kunogona kutibatsira zvakanyanya munguva inoti. Kuti zvona izvozvi takukwanisa kuchiwanawo dzimwe nzira dzatingaitewo mabhizinesi muno muzimbabwe dzinosanganisira kutenga izvo zvatinotengesa semadzimai pamafoni edu atinenge tichishandisa. Saka iyo COVID-19 tikatoishandisa kusimudzira madzimai nekuvadzidzisa kutengesa zvakasiyana siyana nekuti vangararame sei imo muno mucovid-19. Ndinotovimba naizvozvo kuti madzimai anogona kusimudzirika zviri nanonzodarira iyo nguva yakanga kusina COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Aiwa muzvare abiona mataranyika nguva ndiyo yadyanana ndanchikumbira kuti mukande mazwi enyu ekupedzisira kune vateereri.
Ndinongoti mashoko anga kupedzisira kuvateereri ndekuti tinaiyo COVID-19 iri pakati pedu, ngatiishandisei kuti tigosimudzirana pachedu nekuti isu semadzimai hatingadzoseri kumashure enyaya yecovid-19. Ngatiigamuchire toona kuti tingaende sei mberi kuti upenyu hwedu uendere mberi tinayo covid-19 pakati pedu. Sanga tichadze idzo nzira tirege kugununa nekuchema, tochitsvaga idzo nzira dzatinogona kushandisa kuti tiwane raramo nekugarisana zvakanaka mudzimba tiri kudzidzisana kuti tingaite sei ino mucovid-19 tinayo kudai.
All right, Abiona Mataranyika, UZSRC president, thank you so much for taking time out to join us here on the program. Well, Muriya Zimbabwe, you are hearing there from Abiona Mataranyika, the first female president of the UZSRC, the Students' Representative Council. Such a big thing, and congratulations to her. It's something I'll always applaud. It's always exciting to see women make such strides. Now, I'm also joined by live via Skype, Bafarai Gumbonjwanda. Her record is amazing in terms of fighting for the rights of the girl child, fighting for women's rights in Zimbabwe. So I'm excited to have her on the show to hear more from her. Farai, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Wowe, and I'm so excited to be here. And thank you to the Voice of America for hosting this, which I think is a very crucial conversation, which we perhaps are not having enough of. And I'm glad to be here.
I'm more excited. This is my first time having you on the show, so I'm looking forward to the conversation. Let's delve into it. I was talking to Abiona Mataranyika about the challenges that the girl child has faced, especially under the COVID-19 lockdown. So I'll start off there to hear your thoughts. What would you say that the biggest challenges they faced were?
So I think to start off with, I'd like to say that too often we talk about the girl child as if it's a homogenous group. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, it's such an intersectional group. And for me today, I'd really like to focus on young women and especially girls living in rural communities and living in mining communities. So I think Abiona spoke a bit about the economic challenges, which include how a lot of girls are involved in the informal community, how there hasn't been enough access to the e-market. But for me, I wanted to say specifically muma mining communities, akaitango kushamba kwandinova, especially lack of mobility. It meant a lot of girls, mabasa rambeta, emaoko, and even those informal ones, they couldn't actually get to work. So there was that first challenge. Then the second one is, I think, the obvious one, which is the denied access to quality education. So what happened is, shikoro pazvakavharwa. Only the bourgeoisies vangawane access kune zvinhu zvakaitanga online learning. And kana uri mushamba kutakawira chero iwo ma radio lessons acho kuti anyatsosvika kumudzinge primary school, it was very hard. I think of my own little sister Snovia, akanyora grade 7 this year. Mm-hmm. And I think I can count on my fingers the amount of days that she actually went to school. Then the other major big problem for me was access to my health services, especially my sexual and reproductive health services. So I think it was already tough for girls, especially kushika pachipatara uchiti ndikudo contraception or I think there's something wrong with me. More so now with COVID-19, where especially at the beginning, I remember in March or April last year, where the clinic would be fenced off and you're supposed to say the issue that you have pagid. Contraception. It meant literally access to both services and information was completely cut off. Mm-hmm. Then I think one which many people always refer back to is my increase between gender-based violence, violence against women, especially what we saw. So for me, I'm a longtime volunteer of Rosario Memorial Trust, mm-hmm. which was founded in honor of my late grandmother. And we have a shelter for gender-based violence. And what we saw was during COVID-19, tangata kuti amboma cases, ekuti incest, dibamnini, dibankuru, kana kuti mukoma wako chaiko. So I think for COVID-19, it meant for some people, they were literally trapped with their perpetrators, which was something that deeply affected me. Then all these things compounded into my increased issues and internal mental health and mental fitness, which is something already as a country that we don't really pay enough attention to. Yes, there's a lot of great work happening around that. And I respect projects such as the Friendship Bench. And I know now there's Dr. Rochelle Bedges doing research around child marriage and my mental health issues. Mm-hmm. But it's especially during COVID-19, I think one of our associated kurwara kuri physical kosora, but kurwara kuri peace of mind. That's something that really, especially for young women, we didn't pay enough attention. So I think those were the major issues. Vaskana varu garamama mining communities, vaskana garamama agriculturally based communities, kuma reserve, kuma resettlement.
It's unfortunate you came onto the show so late, because we're going to have to wrap up soon. But let me give you a chance here to wrap up properly here. Zvino nyaya dzese dzava kudoma nemaondo ako zvizvo fana kuitika munyika kuitira kuti nyaya dzese dzigadziriswe.
Got it. So I think the first one is patinotaura women empowerment, especially in civil society. We all love to throw around this term of, oh, I'm empowering the youth and I'm empowering the women. Mm-hmm. I think firstly, we need to unpack what is empowerment. And for me, empowerment, you know, based on two things. It's about financial empowerment and it's about educational empowerment. And for me, especially educational empowerment, it's about having my systems are accommodative of the new normal. So as we all know, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and even before, we had a staggering amount of teenage pregnancy.
I think network is being a problem there.
Child marriages and young women. So I'm very appreciative that we have very progressive educational law, and I know Re-Entry Act, which was first introduced in 2010. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, can you hear me now?
Go ahead. Yes, I can hear you.
Hello, hi, Mr.
Yeah, we can still hear you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we can still hear you. Go ahead.
We're talking about education. Okay. So we need to talk about education both in the formal sense. So when we look at policies like the reentry policy, which was first enacted in 2010, and then when we look at the recently passed bill around pregnant girls being allowed back in school, but we need to really capacitate my schools, even though there's a policy that exists, we need to reduce the stigma. We need to have my support groups both in the schools, in churches, in my communities to adapt to this new normal. Then I think we also need to pay attention more to education in the non-formal sense. So maybe to invest more in my TVET training. We need to be book smart and street smart at the same time. Then I think finally my last solution would be around really bringing girls towards the decision-making table. Mm-hmm. And not as Rogungo Tokwanza was the Torama picture, young women angari in attendance. No, I'm talking about really giving them a chance to speak when we know that culturally, especially as a woman and as a young person, mm-hmm. our opinions are not taken as seriously as they should be. But being really deliberate about listening to the voices of young people, and we have solutions, and I think we've done too much capacity building. It's time that we really take the driving wheel towards implementing these solutions.
All right, Fadirai, thank you so much. I'm definitely going to make a plan to bring you back so we can delve deeper into this. Unfortunately, you came onto the show so late, but you brought so much value to the conversation. Thank you so much for taking time out to be here, sis.
No, and thank you for having me.
Definitely. So, Muriya Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Farai Kumbonjwanda. She is a man, like I mentioned earlier on, she's made so many strides in terms of fighting for the rights of the girl child in Zimbabwe. Now, as we wrap up our conversation, Muriya Zimbabwe, Tichipeta, Chirongwa Chedwicha Nasi, earlier on, I mentioned I like to end the show on a good note. This week, Muriya Zimbabwe, we're going to be profiling members, the co-founder of the WINED Music Trust, Winnie Chokera. She's joined by a couple of our students. I had a pre-recorded interview with them. Let's head over to that interview so that you can see the talent that Zimbabwe has. Man, it's so much. It's amazing. Let's take a look.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is that I'm extremely grateful. I started going to WINED when I was 8, 9. So, and obviously it started just as fun, just wanting to sing and so on. But as time went on, I really started like valuing it and spending more time in it and enjoying it a lot more than I did when I first started.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like you're gaining from the school, Mapure?
I think, like Mrs. Shakira mentioned, music isn't just about the notes and the sounds. It teaches you how to multitask, how to, like Mrs. Shakira was saying, we have exams every year, and for our practical exams, we used to have our exams in South Africa. So also, it offers opportunity to travel to different places and so on and so forth.
All right, hold that thought there, Mupiwa. I see we're also joined by Danielle and Naomi Machibaya. So guys, you heard what Mupiwa said. Do you want to add to that?
I think I'd have to say it's very interesting. And on Mupiwa's point, it's gives us lots of exposure. I think personally saying I have gained so much exposure from music, you know, as our teacher here, Mrs. Shakira, was saying, I've learned how to multitask, I've learned how to balance things and juggle things.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Naomi, is music something that you look at and go, wow, I want to do this professionally?
I mean, for me, I think I'm quite the same as Mupiwa. When I started, it was just because, you know, I like to sing, I like to play the instruments. So I just started it for fun. But obviously, as we've gone along, for me, it's taught me persistence. Like, persistence is key in life. Mm-hmm. Because there's been times where we've gone for exams or for competitions, such as we have Allied Arts here, which is basically a big music festival where everyone competes and you just do your best to see what grade you can get awarded. And there's been times where I haven't done so well, but it's not like you can just give up right there. You have to keep being persistent, keep practicing, keep doing the best that you can. And I mean, as well as that, you gain so much more from other musicians like you. Like, I know for me, whenever I hear Shane plays the piano amazingly. And whenever I hear that, I always go, oh, maybe I should practice. Maybe, you know, I'm going to strive to be a bit more like this person. So it teaches you persistency, it teaches you communication, all those really amazing tools.
All right. Shane, let me head over to you, bro. What does this school mean to you, man?
This means so much to me because I actually grew up with music in my head. When I used to be young, my mom always used to tell me that I always said, when I grew up, I want to be a rock star and all that. When I was really young, mm-hmm. and I watched TV shows with music, those are the only things that caught my eye. So it's more like an inborn thing with mm-hmm. me. So I grew up playing piano. That was, yeah, the main form of music to me. Mm-hmm. Then a bit later on, I think I was around 12, 13, mm-hmm. I told my mom that I want to learn how to read music, you know, like the sheets and all that. Because, you know, you don't have to memorize songs and all that. All you have to do is just read and you can play whatever you want. So that's always been a dream of mine. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got introduced to WINED. And ever since then, I've been getting way and way closer to my dreams.
Well, let me come over to you, Mrs. Chokera. When we look at the programs that you have to offer as a school, what do these students have to gain from them?
They get involved in a lot of programs, especially the cultural exchange programs. We like them because we are living in a world where we are in a global village. So these borders no longer mean a lot to us. So these cultural tours and exchange programs, such as the one we had in 2019 before COVID, to go to Colorado, USA, and exchange with Kutandara, I think it was great for the students. It wasn't the first time for us to go to the USA. We went there in 2008 as well when we visited the New England states. So you notice when students are coming from Africa, getting into America, they get to learn more about the American culture. They get to actually speak to other people there, and they get to stay with families there.
Now, this month is all about women. It's Women's Month. So I'm a little curious about that. Is there anything that you're doing at your school to empower women and the girl child, especially those that are looking to venture into arts?
We also teach the girl child just for free. There are certain children that we chose to teach for free. And I'm happy to say we have both boys and girls, but the greater number is for girls. Because I've discovered that in our Zimbabwean culture, we have a saying that says, Mukazano Zambira Bikesaza. So if you allow your wife to play the mbira, you won't even get to eat because she won't be able to cook. She'll be concentrating on the instrument.
On the beer, right.
Yes. So as Women Music Trust, we are saying, no, we are changing these barriers. We're saying, let's afford this girl child an opportunity to learn.
Mupiwa, you're a young lady, so let me hear from you. How has music empowered you as a young woman?
Just as I think, I can never think back to a time where I ever felt diminished or like I had to step back whenever I was at music, even when we had concerts and so on. I think the general environment, even when we were at WMED, I'm just thinking about 2019 and before, like before COVID, excuse me. The general environment is very empowering, and it doesn't lean towards the male in any way, or empower the male, or favor the male in any way. It's very, very balanced, I can say.
Shane, let me also hear from you. How has music empowered you as a young person?
It's a very important thing to people. It teaches you so much. Maybe one of the most important lessons I've learned from music, mainly from piano, and is applicable to each and every aspect of life, is no matter what mistake you make, it doesn't matter. What matters is how you react to the mistake, you know?
All right, guys, as we wrap up, because we do have to wrap up here, I'm going to ask one of you guys to perform for the audience so that people can see what you guys are doing at WNAD Music Trust. So I'm going to ask one of you guys to sing. Naomi?
So I'm going to sing a little bit of a piece called If Music Be the Food of Love by Henry Purcell.
That here, Muria Zimbabwe, deep inside, man. the talent, such talent, such beautiful talent. Well, Mudia Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the students of WINED Music Trust. We're going to be uploading this, the full clip, on our Facebook page and our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. We have come to an end of our program. For those that are looking to chat with me, you can catch me on Instagram, at Twitter, at BigMike3, BigMyke3. Thank you so much to all the people that joined me. Thank you so much to those that wrote their comments. Bye-bye!